Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Case, tough start.
You know, I'm like a diesel engine. It takes me a little while to start, but once I get going,
once you get up to temp,
it's full on,
full efficiency.
Yes, exactly.
Full power.
So, dude, on this episode of TFL Talking Trucks, I want to talk about truck innovation, things that we want to see, things that we're seeing now, things that are missing. That type of stuff.
It makes sense to talk about. That's kind of our area. We do automotive news, yes. And we're always there talking to the engineers when new vehicles are coming out. We get to ask the people that are coming out with these features why they included them on these trucks. So it's kind of a cool perspective that hopefully we get and that we're able to convey.
Yeah, innovation. And it doesn't have to be about like adding more and more and more. Maybe it's about subtracting. You know, how about less, less, and less?
That's
how
true.
How about like a really affordable pickup trucks?
There are
like
a couple companies that are shooting for that,
yeah.
Which I think is answering something that a lot of people are asking for, because a lot of the other innovation that we see in pickup trucks makes them more complicated and makes them more expensive.
Exactly. And I think really what sparked this episode for us of our podcast is that one of our viewers, Cole T, he submitted a couple of images of a prototype truck he saw in Leadville, Colorado, basically doing high altitude testing. And it just happened to be upcoming 2026 Ram 1500 Ram Charger.
And this is going to be a really cool, unique offering if you're struggling as much as a lot of us are with the naming of Ram's electrified trucks. The Ram Charger is the one that is electric drive, but it has a gas engine under the hood to supply electricity when the battery runs out. And this truck is seen testing actually here in Colorado.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
And this is a concept that we're excited about because it potentially mixes the best of both worlds.
Yeah, or the worst of both worlds. And we have to talk about that.
Yeah.
We have to talk about that a little bit. Cole, actually our producer Cole, could you look up another image of a Dodge Ram Charger? No.
The old
Ram,
school?
No, the Ram Charger SUV.
Yeah, the original Ram Charger.
Yeah. So yeah. This.
Nice.
So when I hear Ram Charger, for some reason, first gen Dodge Ram SUV comes to mind.
Not for no reason. It's because that's the original.
Yes. So the new Ram 1500 Ram Charger is something else. It's not an SUV.
No, the new Ram Charger is a regular Ram 1500 pickup, but they picked the name because there is a Pentastar V6 that they can use to recharge the battery. This is about a 70 kilowatt hour battery. And they're saying, 145 miles of electric range,
yeah.
But as much as 690 miles of total range, because there's also a 27-gallon gas tank.
Exactly.
So potentially solves the range issue, but you still get the power and the immediate torque, especially of the electric powertrain. which are two really good things.
Exactly. And I think this is the innovation I think we kind of want to see, because not just that, you know, they're coming up with a brand new, you know, complicated powertrain, but because they're offering choice,
yeah.
right? And that's what we've seen in the past as well. You know, we had mid-size diesel trucks, we had full-size half-ton diesel trucks, but now Ram, in the, you know, they're bringing back the Hemi V8. They're bringing, you know, they have turbocharged engines, they have V6 engines, and now they have a gasoline range extended electric truck too.
Yeah, and obviously Ram is committed to keeping around V8s. So the fact that they've got such a broad range of powertrain options is a good thing. I think it gives people a lot of vehicles and utility cases to be able to choose from. Depending on how you want to use your truck, you can pick a powertrain that's going to suit that well, because if they do things right, you'll also be able to tap into the electric architecture to be able to power things like Ford does with a lot of their electrified yeah. powertrains, which makes the vehicles all that much more useful. When you can run a welder off of your truck in the middle of nowhere with no power hookup other than what's built into the vehicle itself, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty useful. Not all of the truck innovation things we're going to talk about today are things that I think are strictly useful, but having access to power like that,
yeah.
that gets a thumbs up from me.
Well, I think that kind of goes to the fact, you mentioned F-150 Hybrid and some of their electric trucks. For example, yeah, F-150 Lightning. Yeah, in Power Boost. I remember David and I were working at Tumbleweed Ranch. We're in the middle of, you know, the property.
In a field, yeah.
Welding, you know, that Onyx off-road gate?
Yeah.
You know, that giant gate, we put a metal sign on it. And we had to weld some chain and stuff like that to it. We're just using, you know, power in the field, and that's the ultimate, I think.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
That is actually, a strictly speaking, a very useful feature. So once again, that could be a big advantage of something like this Ram Charger or the Rev potentially.
Yeah, and here's what I found interesting. I want to pick your brain, Case, just a couple of these specs on the Ram Charger before we move on to some other items. For example, its payload rating is 2,625 pounds.
Yeah, and they're saying 14,000 pounds of towing, which yeah. is also a good number.
Exactly. Those are great numbers. Those numbers are basically almost heavy duty. Really, I mean, the payload is a heavy duty number, right? 2,625.
Well, and it makes sense too, because peak torque, 610 pound-feet of torque, which is a lot. So this truck could definitely pull weight around, no problem there. Honestly, at the end of the day, and we could say this having done a lot of towing with gas-powered trucks, diesel trucks, electric trucks, hybrid trucks. One of our favorite things about electric pickup trucks is towing. We love towing with electric trucks. We just don't love running out of battery when we're towing
and recharging them. We really hate recharging them.
This could potentially solve some of that, because yeah. the actual experience of pulling a trailer with an electric truck while you still have battery
yeah.
is great. There's so much torque available instantaneously, and it moves trailers around really well. Plus, big heavy batteries do make for some heavy trucks, but heavy trucks are also pretty sure-footed.
Yeah.
They don't get pushed around by the trailer maybe as much.
Exactly, because this truck, the Ram Charger, is listed at about 7,500 pounds of curb weight.
Also, regeneration on the downhill.
Exactly. And we test that on the iGauntlet. We sometimes test it even on our TFL Toaster summer test, which is kind of a high temperature, high ambient temperature test that we've been doing. So those are all great things. But I did notice one item on this spec sheet for the Ram Charger is the EPA fuel efficiency estimates for combined MPG. So this is when you're out of battery, basically, and
yeah.
the V6 Pentastar engine is running, you know, as hard as it can to provide you electric propulsion. They're listing it at 20 mpg, which
yeah.
does not sound very good.
No, for a very modern electrified truck that you would assume is shooting for efficiency, 20 mpg when it's using the gas engine to keep the truck driving,
yeah.
it doesn't sound that spectacular, because I can get 20 mpg or better in my 1994 12-valve Cummins on 35s.
You could.
On the highway. So that doesn't sound spectacular, but if I want to play devil's advocate,
yes.
I might as well.
Yeah.
145 miles of electric range, that's going to cover 95% of most people's driving day to day.
So I drive at home. Let's just take my commute as an example.
Sure.
I drive about 50 miles a day. And let's say I was pulling a trailer. Like, you know, sometimes I have to bring a trailer to work. I have to bring a trailer home. Let's assume that's like 100 miles worth of energy, right? Because you have to, you know, half your efficiency when you're pulling something.
Yeah, so you could probably get 70 of those 100 miles on battery.
Yeah, and like you said, 145 miles, I think I could do that in a day. Even pulling a trailer.
Sure.
So, and I have a level 2 charger. I'm pretty fortunate that I have a garage at my house, right? I have a level 2 charger inside my garage. So I come home, plug my truck into my garage. Boom, next day I can do the same thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the beauty of that.
I really think that the gas motor here is a backup. It's just in a pinch when you need to drive more than 150 miles in a day. I'm not saying that no one does. There's plenty of people that do have unbelievably long drives every single day. Yeah, well, even hers isn't 145 miles.
Yes.
But there are people out there that have really long drives to and from work every day, or their job is driving. And this would not make sense for them, but for 99.9 repeating however many times, most people are not driving more than 145 miles in a day. So I think the system could actually work pretty well.
And also, even if you're a contractor, let's say you have to go to one or two or three job sites in a day, that might be actually okay for you, especially if you have a backup of that engine, right?
Yeah, if it's true in the real world that you can get even close to 700 miles of total range in a day driving this truck, that's spectacular. That's a lot of driving.
Exactly, yeah. So you just have to look at it. I mean, not every truck fits every use case, right?
Think about that. That's like a full week of driving 100 miles every day. That would be that's a lot of driving.
Yeah.
If you're filling this up every week, you drive a lot.
And we're very sorry.
Yeah, that's too much driving.
I mean, we've done road trips where we drive, you know, huge amounts of miles, but that's,
I think the craziest number I've ever seen when we filled up a truck was when you and I were in a crew cab long bed F-350.
Mm-hmm, dually.
Filled up the truck, and what was the size of the tank on that?
It was 48 gallons.
Yeah, 48 gallons.
Yeah.
We filled up the truck, and it was estimating over 800 miles of range on a tank. Which is insane. I'm not going to say that there's no one in the world that can drive 800 miles without stopping, but I'm not that person.
No.
Andre's not that person.
You would probably have to be an astronaut in order to be able to do, and maybe wearing diapers.
800 miles of driving, you want to stop partway through that. So that's just an insane amount of range. 700 miles on this, that's not that far off. So I'm excited about this truck. I think this is a good bit of innovation.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
And there's another thing about this prototype that Cole saw driving around Leadville is that he noted that it was making considerably more whirring sound, like an electric kind of generated sound, than he has heard from other electric vehicles running around. So I'm starting a rumor, and this is not professional.
Do you think this is Fratzonic?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. This is very unprofessional of me because, I'm a journalist.
You're speculating?
Not. Yes.
Well, interesting.
Wouldn't that be cool, right? Yeah, they have Dodge, Charger, another Charger.
They built the instrument, the electric
The electric
bassoon or
bagpipes.
Whatever you want to call it.
They have the electric bagpipes, right? So why not use it in a truck? That could be interesting.
So perhaps Stellantis is putting an actual exhaust and instrument, whatever you want to call the Fratzonic system that's in the electric Dodge Charger. Maybe they're going to put that in something like this Ram Charger. I'm not sure it needs it, but whatever.
You know, and a lot of people spoke kind of badly about that Fratzonic exhaust, but I was very impressed in one particular circumstance. I was at the New York Auto Show in April. And you know, like in the basement of the show, they have an electric driving experience where cars are driving indoors. And a Dodge Charger, I think it was like a Stage 2, you know, beefed up electric car. It had its Fratzonic exhaust on inside. It was reverberating against the concrete walls. It sounded mean as hell. And it sounded pretty good. But So like driving around like a parking structure at night.
You could still be a menace.
I see like a lurking, you know, like a car lurking in the background.
Sure. A lot of people complain that EVs don't have any soul because they don't make any noise.
It's one solution.
It is a noisemaker.
Yeah.
So based off of that alone, it could be satisfying.
Yeah.
Or it could not.
So we mentioned F-150 hybrids and Lightnings.
We did.
I had a little bit of data that actually Ford shared. So I wanted to talk a little bit about it because there was this kind of, competition going on because when the Tesla Cybertruck was initially unveiled by Elon Musk, he kind of showed the Cybertruck pulling an F-150 in a tug of war, and it was kind of like challenging Ford almost. Being like, let's go, come on. This is going to be the most popular truck. The Cybertruck will be huge. So,
tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Fast forward to May of 2025. So with this data we have here is the F-150 Lightning sales of the lifetime, you know, since it came out in 2022. And Ford says that they sold 84,197 Lightning trucks.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty impressive number, actually.
It is, and it's cool that they break that out separate from the combustion version of the F-150 because not every manufacturer is that exact when they throw out their sales data. Sometimes they get lumped in with other vehicles in a similar category. But 84,000 for an EV pickup, pretty good number, but we've got numbers as well for its competition.
Yeah, so they listed, and once again, this is coming from Ford. I did not verify every number, but it's... You know, based on all the sales reporting that
we've seen
this,
in the past.
This seems really legitimate. So, for example, they said Rivian sold as far as R1T pickup trucks. And I believe they're probably using like registration data.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's really hard because Rivian usually doesn't break out R1T.
Nor does Tesla with the Cybertruck.
Right. So
they don't separate
they
the sales.
Said R1T is next on the list as far as number of trucks sold at just under 50,000. And then the Cybertruck is third at around 49,000 pickup trucks as far as sales.
Yeah, and then the Silverado EV sold about 12,500. The Hummer EV, just over 10,000. And the Sierra EV is pretty new, so just over 4,000 Sierra EVs, which makes sense, yeah. Hasn't been on the market that long. But that is a good little feather in the cap for the Lightning.
Yeah, exactly. And I think some of these numbers, like I think Rivian, Cybertruck, Ford, some of their sales are kind of tapering or maybe leveling off.
Right.
Cybertruck has been in trouble. I mean, there's a lot of them sitting on lots. But I see GM really pushing their electric pickup trucks in a very heavy way. For example, I was recently in Detroit driving the Sierra EV 84. So that's the off-road version of the Sierra EV. So they had Sierra EV Elevation, which was a more affordable entry point. So I think GM numbers will come up.
Yeah.
Because they're really pushing really hard.
I think the toughest thing with the GM electric trucks is they're just so massive. And I not only in footprint, yes, but literal mass.
Oh, I want to talk about this.
Huge.
You know, one piece of innovation that they did on the Hummer EV?
Yeah.
So they announced it like a month ago. They tweaked. Basically, the hardware is the same, but they tweaked, you know, the software, the way the power is delivered, and the motors that are working. They got a Hummer EV truck to go 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds. I don't know how. I don't know. I mean, they're claiming 1,160 horsepower coming out of three electric motors.
I'm not sure that that's a good thing. Because the Hummer EV is over 9,000 pounds.
Yeah.
9,400 pounds.
So
I don't think 9,400 pounds
should be moving that
to
fast.
Hit 60 in under 3 seconds. That sounds like a hazard.
Or a fun amusement ride.
Interesting. It is, so even the older Watts to Freedom mode in the Hummer EV that's existed for years watching that in person is a striking thing to watch happen because it punishes those tires.
Also,
the physics of it doing that is a wild thing to watch, listen to. You can hear these forces at play that just don't exist in a lot of vehicles because of the weight, the power, the acceleration, the torque, the traction, the suspension compressing, and that amount of mass getting moving that way. But
so I don't know if that's the innovation we're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Is anyone waiting with bated breath for a Hummer that goes 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds and weighs almost 10,000 pounds? Maybe. I'm not sure that's what the general population is waiting for.
Well, I think general population probably can't afford one of these Hummers to begin with.
I think that that's a good bet.
Because it's like over $100,000. But you're absolutely right. I remember we did several drag races at our airstrip.
Yeah.
I remember when the Hummer EV truck first came out, and the one we own too.
Yeah.
I remember how the front end almost would get off the ground too.
It felt like, at least. There is such a thing as a sports car.
Yeah.
You could get that. I'm not saying it's not impressive. It is impressive. It's an insane thing to watch happen. It gives you a chuckle, but at some point you might have to ask the question.
Yeah.
For
is
what
this,
reason?
Yeah. Well, because we can.
Yeah. Because we can. That's
because
fair.
Because we can.
I can get behind that. You know what
I was impressed by is that they basically did not change the hardware. You know, so I think it just shows the. How the electric vehicles, electric motors, batteries, inverters, everything that has to do with electricity in the vehicle, how tunable, I'm using kind of air quotes, but tunable, it is tunable. So like, you know, when you're adding boost to your diesel engine, you're tuning it. But you could also do something similar with software. And that's impressive. Actually.
I'm just impressed the whole thing can stay together when it does that.
Well, we don't know how it stays together because we haven't experienced it.
Maybe you
it.
Do it a couple times before it flies apart.
But the other, where do you want to go from here? Do you want to talk about some of the stuff we're missing or some of the stuff we have already?
Yeah, you know, what we've been talking about innovation that exists for a while. I think we should talk about some of the things that we wish were out there.
Well, I think the biggest thing on everybody's list could be cheap trucks.
Yeah, which is potentially coming. Companies like Slate. I'm not sure that everyone. Well, you know, judging by reading some comments, which could be a good indication or not. I'm not sure everyone is super excited about an inexpensive electric truck, but Slate. That's exactly the kind of thing that they're trying to build. Obviously, there's been a lot of buzz around it, so there's some interest in it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really cool concept, a very modular, modifiable, but at its core, basic vehicle that will hopefully not be crazy expensive. There's already been one price increase since there were the initial rumors of the truck. It was going to be $20,000.
Well, that's after...
After
we found out $7,500 of incentives, and the incentives could go away. So really, it could be $27,500.
It could be a $30,000 truck with plastic body panels and hand crank windows.
Yeah, but I think they're on the right path, right? Because they're innovating. Yeah.
I like the concept. I'm hopeful.
But they're innovating, you know, not for complexity and expense. They're innovating the other way.
And
right?
That's people are asking for that. So I think it's a good idea.
So, for example, some of the things that we've seen on the Slate concept vehicle, it's one color, so you don't have to have a paint shop in your factory when you're producing
it.
You could wrap it in a number of different colors. So, I mean, that's kind of okay. I don't know if I want to spend a ton of money, but they showed how you could wrap it yourself even.
Yeah,
you know, with simple panels.
It does seem like the body was designed such that wrapping it shouldn't be massively challenging because a lot of really complicated hard angles.
Or multi-angle, where it bends in multiple
directions.
Yeah,
very complex angles can be difficult to wrap because the material only wants to stretch and bend so much. So I think it was the Shane, who does a lot of vinyl wrapping, mm-hmm. he was telling us, I think it's the front end of maybe the front bumper of a Chevy HHR that's
almost impossible
that
to
you
wrap.
Have to wrap to get a certain certification.
Like it's a major test.
Yeah, was it? I want to say maybe it was the HHR, something like that, that was kind of challenging because there's just a lot going on. It's got these little bumperettes that
jut out. Curves in multiple directions, right, at the same time. So
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, but I think Slate, what they're doing is, you know, there's certain simplicity in having an electric motor, right? There's not a lot of moving parts.
And minimal maintenance.
Removable doors, for example, removable panels with exposed screws.
Plus, so, creating a modular platform on an electric architecture is arguably much easier to do because you can make the vehicle's architecture essentially a skateboard atop which you could build basically whatever you want.
Different bodies, yeah. Different bodies. You know, they talked about changing the suspension, changing wheels and tires, which is pretty simple to do.
It still has a pretty traditional shape.
It does, and that surprised me. Actually.
I think that's a good thing, though.
Yeah. For example, headlamps. They talked about swapping out headlamps, making it. It's, you know what? It's almost like a Lego set in some ways. You know, you can remove certain, you know, fenders if it's damaged, remove the tail lamps, headlamps.
Which is maybe one of the things that's exciting about it because it does look like fun to go through and personalize these vehicles. I bet there's an unbelievable amount of combinations of options that you could pick for these because there's so many different things that you could spec so many different ways. You could do it yourself, which could be fun if you're into that kind of thing. I think I would be.
Mm-hmm.
So the configurator for this is a lot of fun. That's maybe some of the interest that's in it. But the idea of simplicity, that's cool. So maybe that will be something, a trend we'll see in the future. Maybe the pendulum has swung so far towards complexity that there's enough pushback on it that it can swing a little bit back towards the middle. Maybe we'll have some more simple vehicles available on the market.
And I think it shows also maybe the maturity of the technology, right? Because what, 10 or 15 years ago, you know, automotive batteries were fairly exotic, right? And motors were fairly exotic for electric motors. And now, and that was expensive, right? That technology was expensive. Like basically any new technology, you know, coming online.
Sure.
So now, you know, like you're saying, you know, the pendulum is moving because the technology is also maturing. And now we can have simplicity and maybe affordability as part of the equation, which is nice.
Which would be nice. But there's other things that we would like to see other than just simplicity and inexpensive trucks. We miss the days when there were mid-sized trucks with diesel engines.
Yeah, I remember those days.
I do too. The Ranger in Australia, can you still get a diesel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Most pickup trucks in Australia or some other countries, you can get with a diesel, like a Hilux.
Yeah.
Toyota Hilux with a diesel, you can get.
Also, the Super Duty Ranger.
Oh, wow.
How sweet would it be to have that here? I get it. It would probably eat into F-150 sales. I'm sure they don't want to do that, but it's so cool.
So, yeah, and also hybrids. You know, I want to go back to it. So I think, I mean, electrification is one thing, you know, making EVs or range-extended EVs. But I think Toyota has shown us with their cars and SUVs that hybrid is a very useful. For some reason, they're not showing it to us in trucks.
Something funny. It was not too long ago in one of – well, we were talking to somebody, and somebody was asking us if the – if the Toyota hybrid system, like what's in the Tacoma, is more for fuel economy or more for acceleration. And somebody said neither.
Ouch.
Which is kind of funny.
But it's kind of rooted in some truth.
There is some truth to it. It does. Obviously, there's more power, more torque.
Yes.
So it is mostly a performance benefit because depending on the trim, depending if it's a Tacoma or a 4Runner, the hybrid version gets 1 or 2 mpg better. As in the city. So it's not a significant difference in fuel economy, but it feels like the Toyota hybrid systems, like on the Tacoma, just don't quite do enough extra.
Well, they also add some weight.
Yeah.
Right? Because the battery weighs something. The
it's
electric
not all
motor,
upside. There's some downside.
So there's like several hundred pounds. I want to say between 300 and maybe 450 pounds, depending on the vehicle. For Toyota trucks, that's how much weight you're adding to the vehicle. So I think the best execution, you know, of course, Ram has their e-torque systems, which is very mild hybrid.
Yeah.
I mean,
mild as mild gets.
You can't drive.
You can't even tell that it's there. Yeah.
Basically unnoticeable. But the best execution still is the F-150 hybrid, I think.
Yeah, the power boost for sure, because you can tap into that electric architecture. It makes it.
But it's also, makes it, remember how quick my truck used to be?
True. Yeah, it's
the
a lot
F-150
of torque.
Hybrid. Yeah, it was a lot of torque. It seemed like the twin turbos with electric motor backed up. And the way the transmission shifted was quite nice.
But I still don't think that it goes far enough. Mm. Because I think a plug-in hybrid on a truck like we might see on a Gladiator at some point, the 4xe system.
You know, we have an image of that too. We have a Gladiator plug-in prototype.
There's been at least a, if not several, prototypes spied of a Gladiator that was plugged in and charging. So it seems like there's good reason to believe that there could be a 4xe Gladiator on the way, which would be great because a Gladiator needs some love. It needs something to freshen things up. But a plug-in hybrid in a pickup would be sweet because there's other markets that have some pretty advanced electrified trucks like the BYD Shark from China that you guys got to drive. That's a really cool system.
Yeah, and it seemed like it was working quite nice. Tommy and I spent just a couple hours with a BYD
Shark.
That's
a plug-in, right?
Well, it's also a range-extended one.
Okay.
So it's the way I remember the Shark, the BYD Shark, is the engine could potentially drive the wheels, but it usually doesn't.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a combination of both. And they have a small displacement turbocharged gasoline engine, like a 1.6 liter. And you know what? I think the Gladiator will have a 2 liter
That turbo, would make sense, yeah.
Turbo as kind of a, the gasoline portion.
That's how it is in the Wrangler.
Exactly.
So, yeah, something like that could be really interesting. A truck that's electrified a little further, maybe not as far as being full electric. Not that there's anything strictly wrong with that, but those options are out there already. But that's maybe too big of a step for a lot of people.
Well, as long as it's not at the cost of like the starting price exploding,
sure,
right?
Yeah,
like that's why I think when the Jeep introduces the Gladiator 4xe plug-in, they should maintain their base non-plug-in as well.
Yeah,
right. Because a lot of people want that entry point. You know, they want to have a more affordable option rather than.
Yeah.
Exploding the price with it.
Basically, it's fair. Hopefully the prices can stay under control. Maybe that's wishful thinking. But I think the hybrids that we'd like to see are more plug-in hybrids and more range-extended electrics. And there's at least some of that that's coming.
And also, speaking of that, I want to talk about heavy duties. Because as good as they are, and we've tested, actually, we're doing a drag race this week with trailers, with heavy-duty diesels.
Which will be fun. And when talk about innovation, the fact, and this is not new, but the fact that you could go to a dealership, buy a dually that is able to tow enough weight, you would need a CDL to max it out or even get close to maxing it out, that's pretty spectacular and an amazing bit of innovation.
And doing it with performance and efficiency, too.
Just the increase in capability that you can find in trucks across the board. The fact that what we were just talking about, the Ram Charger, but as well as the F-150, that they're towing 10, 12, 14,000 pounds, that's awesome because my 94 12-valve Cummins Ram 2500 tows 12. So the fact that a full-size truck now can tow what an HD used to.
Yeah, and it only was removed by 20 or 30 years of time. Yeah, I mean, that innovation is humongous. Of course, these trucks, we're looking at the model of a crew cab dually here. Long bed, and it's carrying a piston.
Big piston.
They're also getting expensive. And
yeah.
I don't think there's any way around this, at least right now. Because I guess we should go into this a little bit more. It's like, where is that cost coming from, right? Because the cost really, if you look at the starting price of truck today versus like 30 years ago, you said, a lot of it is accounted by inflation.
Yeah, for sure.
That's okay, except our salaries are not covered by inflation.
Yeah, so it's not so much that truck prices are going up more than prices for
anything
else. If you go to an inflation calculator, you pick a specific trim of a pickup truck and you look at that cost versus that same trim of pickup truck 20, 30 years ago. It's all pretty in line. Mm-hmm. And that's even considering the fact that, like we're saying, capability is shooting way up. My Ram, when it was brand new, 175 horsepower from that stock 12-valve Cummins.
That's like a Maverick.
Yeah.
That's almost a Ford Maverick type of
versus
power.
Now, you can get a Super Duty with 500 horsepower and 1,200 pound-feet of torque with a factory warranty.
Exactly.
And a bunch of airbags and all kinds of screens and technology and this, that, and the other, which is cool. So truck prices are really high. But
their capability also increased.
Yeah, and they kind of line up with inflation.
Also, at the same time, Case, they increased safety,
yeah,
right?
100%.
Because government, government regulation has
comfort,
a lot to do with it.
Comfort,
safety,
quality,
also emissions.
Ways, yeah.
Emissions is another point of regulation. So they've done all those things. You know, they made them cleaner to run, safer to drive, more comfortable to drive.
And again, if you don't believe us, look up, you know, whatever truck in the past you like versus the brand new version of that. It's maybe a bit more expensive adjusted for inflation now than it used to be, but with as many developments, as much extra capability and features as they have, it's not too bad. Like you said, it's more of an economic thing that wages haven't necessarily kept up or at all kept up with inflation. And we're not economists. We're not going to go in super deep on that. But yeah, there is a lot of innovation in trucks as far as their capability is concerned.
But according to our videographer and producer, Ian, they need to have a diesel hybrid. That's what Ian said. That's what he told us. But I think it only makes sense for heavy duty.
Sure.
Because when you have a small vehicle and you're combining the weight and the complexity and just the capability of a turbo diesel, because it also has to have a DPF system and a DEF system, and you're combining that with electric motors and batteries.
Sounds like an incredibly complex machine.
Yeah, but not much more than that Ram Charger. Ram Charger doesn't have any turbos or DPF.
Yeah.
But if you combine all of it together, let us know what you think in the comments below. Do you think? Let's take like a Chevy 2500, right? Would it make sense to make it a diesel hybrid?
I don't know. I think it's a tough thing. I think it would be a tough thing to market a diesel hybrid. I love the idea of a diesel electric, like what you would find in a lot of big ships or
locomotives.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of big industrial vehicles that use diesel generators to supply power to extremely torquey electric motors. So there's a utilitarian case to be made for it. I think it would be a difficult thing to market because I'm going to generalize here, but a lot of diesel people aren't interested in EVs. A lot of EV people aren't super enthusiastic about diesels.
Mm-hmm.
So a challenging thing to market for a manufacturer. But the other thing too, I got to wonder, like our the Cummins that's outside or our Duramax, how much better would it be if it was electrified? Because since it's a diesel, it's already pretty efficient. It's already got a lot of torque. It's already got, they've got boatloads of range. You could refuel them quickly. They do well on the downhill because they've got an exhaust brake, so not
But can you weld off of it in the field? And the answer is no.
Not as it sits. That's fair.
But you see what I'm saying? F-150 EcoBoost became better with the electricity.
I mean, it would be. There is a way. You know, most welding trucks are not electric. So it is.
That is true. Because they have a very cool customized beds with generators and welders.
I've actually yet to see an electric welding truck.
We should make one. Actually, well, you don't have to. You just have to buy an F-150 hybrid, I guess.
Boom. Ratchet strap, welder. You got a welding truck.
You know, I just met one of our viewers just a couple of weeks ago. He's a contractor. He drives an F-150 hybrid, 2024 model. He said it was the best thing since sliced bread. You know, he gets about 30, according to him, I didn't verify it, 30 mpg in the city, just, you know,
that's
going
sweet.
From job to job. And he could power stuff with it and weld from it. So
yeah, I think it's useful.
That could be cool. What about the Godzilla hybrid.
But you know, you're going to electrify an HD truck just so you could charge stuff
and weld from it.
Yeah, but again, you can already weld. You can build a welding truck if that's what you need.
Yeah, but you need to buy a separate generator, which costs a lot of money. You need to fuel that generator somehow, maybe an additional fueling system or a fuel tank. You need extra equipment that. Why not just do
it? If there's any welders out there that are hoping to see this from the factory,
let us know. Let me know.
Yeah.
Because
I'm not saying it's impossible, but
I'm not convinced. I think that would be a cool innovation.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I think it would be a lot of work for maybe not enough return.
Now, let's get back to affordability for a second. Compact trucks, are they?
It would be cool if there were more players in the market because there's the Santa Cruz and there's the Maverick.
Yeah.
The Ridgeline is a mid-sized truck, so it's a step up in size from those two. So it would be cool to see more of them. There's been plenty of rumors
about
Toyota.
Toyota,
trying to do something along those lines. That would be great because it's a big market. The Maverick sells a lot. So it would make sense for more companies to get involved. And maybe some competition could bring some of those prices down a little bit more because when the Maverick first came out, the starting price was under $20,000, which was...
It was like a slate.
Awesome. That's super cool. Now they start around 27.
28.
Yeah. So they're quite a bit more than they used to be, but maybe some competition could bring that down.
Exactly. And I think a lot of them, and I think that's one of the reasons why the slate is electric and why Toyota concept truck, which is a compact little truck, is electric, is because the way that our, manufacturer fleet economy averages, CAFE standards work, the smaller the vehicle, the more efficient it has to be based on its footprint. So Maverick is kind of was pushing that with a hybrid, right?
So it probably won't have a V8.
It's very unlikely that your next compact truck will have a V8. Very unlikely.
Makes sense.
But you know what? V8 engines are not going away either.
True. Yeah, GM is committed to investing in them in a big way. And, Ram brought them back. They probably need to invest in modernizing their Hemi a little bit because it's been around.
You know, recently did a story with our friend Sam from Wheel Bearings Podcast.
Yeah.
And he has his hands on some more data. You know how I love numbers. And he was looking into sales data in a database that I don't have access to, but he gave me a glimpse. And based on what we saw there, V8, the percentages of trucks like in the half-ton category that have a V8 engine is actually way higher than I expected. Mm-hmm. It was about a quarter of trucks sold in 2023 were V8 powered for Ford. And of course, like 60 to 65% in GM.
Yeah,
because
that makes sense.
They have most of their trucks as V8s. So based on that and the fact that Ford is maintaining a 5-liter, Ram has a Hemi, and GM is investing into new V8s, I think we'll see, and Sam agreed with me, for the next 10 years at least, we'll have V8 engines in trucks.
So we can celebrate that.
Yes.
That's a win.
But still, compact trucks. We need little tiny guys.
Little V8 trucks.
Yeah. Isn't that a V4? If you shrunk a V8, could it become a V4?
Or it could just be a small V8.
Very small. Yeah. Like a Formula One type.
Yeah, like
style.
The old F1 V8. Yeah, those are tiny.
Revving to 14,000 RPM or something like that.
Which is cool. I wouldn't be mad about a truck like that.
Okay.
Mid-gates and tailgates.
Well, we have those.
It's another area of innovation that's maybe slowed down a little bit. Not so much with the mid-gates because there's more and more companies, well, GM especially, that are trying
and
to
also the
make
Tello,
use of that.
Concept truck had a mid-gate, as well.
Yeah, so the mid-gate's cool. You can expand the bed into the cab if you need to carry around something that's really long. So some of the EV GM trucks with the mid-gate folded down, it's up to 9 feet. Is that right?
It's up. It's about 9 feet, 1 inch with the tailgate closed and the mid-gate open.
Yeah.
So that's a huge amount of space. And if you lower the tailgate, of course, you have, almost 11
feet
or more, of space. And actually, this little Toyota concept truck, the electric PUP, I think it was called, EPU, electric pickup, also had a mid-gate concept in it. So I think that's a useful feature. What I noticed was in the latest GM electric trucks, it's quite difficult to have a mid-gate, especially with a folding glass in the midsection, that's actually is soundproof, really comfortable to drive, because it's really hard to control, you know, those vibrations and those kind of noises.
But GM's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Back to the Avalanche.
Exactly.
Or the Escalade EXT.
Yes.
Yeah. Those had mid-gate, so they
have experience.
You could argue they know how to do it.
Yeah.
The one area of innovation that seems like it slowed down a little bit would be tailgates, because there were the tailgate wars a couple of years ago. Everyone had to have a new feature built into their tailgate. I'm personally 100% okay with tailgate innovation slowing down. I think that a dampened cool gate's cool. Not strictly necessary, but it's cool. I like a locking tailgate. That's nice.
If that's you've got a central locking?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Locks with the rest of the door locks. If you've got a tunnel cover, especially a hard-topped tunnel cover, that wouldn't be super easy to get into. Then a locking tailgate is pretty awesome. But as far as a tailgate that opens seven different ways, yeah,
I kind of agree.
It doesn't do a lot for me. Maybe there's people out there that use it a ton, but no.
So you're right.
Especially the GM ones that if you open both sections, it's awkward to try and close it.
And it also hits a hitch if you have a hitch, for example.
True.
I agree with you. Through 2024, and Ford was kind of the last. Ford fired their last shot across the bow of the other manufacturers with a little midsection in their Fun 50 that kind of opens to the side.
Yeah, almost kind of similar to the Ram one that...
Kind of like a barn style.
Yeah, that could fold down normally or kind of barn style.
Yeah. The reason why I love like the Ram solution is because if you open it in a barn style,
you walk right up to the bed.
You have more access. Or if you have a pallet, like a forklift with a pallet, you can just drive up directly to the truck bed and lower it. But that feature costs a lot of money.
Yeah, I feel like you're kind of, you know, you're creating solutions to a problem that no one really...
Doesn't quite exist.
No one really has. I mean, when was the last time that somebody had to do something with their truck that they couldn't do because their tailgate just flips down, right?
I think if we asked David this question, he would have said, first of all, flatbed is a solution.
True.
Second of all, people have been using tailgates for like 90 years or 100 years. So it's not a big deal. Successfully using tailgates.
Also, some of those, the multi-pro tailgates, the tailgates that open five different ways, if you have to pull that off the back of the truck.
It's heavy.
Oh my God, they weigh like 150 pounds.
Yeah.
It's insane. They have to be dampened, because if they weren't,
they'll just fall down.
You let that drop, break the limiting straps.
Exactly. And also, there was a couple of recalls for some of these complex tailgates because they have a lot of electronics, and then it just that's probably too much.
Speaking of recalls.
Oh.
Whew, I'm not sure that that's an innovation, but it would be cool to innovate trucks to not be recalled as much as they are.
Yeah.
Since it has been a year for recalls. There's
and
been
also
a lot.
Some sizable ones.
Yeah.
Like there's always a recall, you know, where 100 vehicles are recalled here and there.
As well as a NHTSA investigation into the GM
V8 engines.
The 6.2, which is not a recall at the moment, but is a concern.
But look at this, 877,000 vehicles could be involved in this investigation.
Yeah.
That's almost a million. I mean, that's a lot of vehicles.
And it's not an official recall yet, is it? They're suggesting recommending a heavier oil, but it's not like they're calling back all those V8s.
Not all of them, but I think they have to be inspected. So there was a stop sale. It's just not a good situation.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Let's be fair, too. It's not just GM. Ford, the entire company, Ford has had, over 80 recalls across all their models.
In 6 months of this year.
Yeah. So far this year, 2025, over 80 recalls, which is a lot.
And some of them could be minor, but some of them are not minor, right? So I think I totally agree with you. I think there has to be some way to improve quality just in general. I was actually at the Ford plant recently. This was the Kentucky truck plant where they built Super Duties and Expeditions and Lincoln Navigators. And they were showing us how they're improving some of the quality. And they were actually using, I couldn't believe it, just regular smartphones that are connected, and they're using cameras in these phones.
Don't tell me it's AI.
They're using AI.
It had to be AI.
Cole is...
Yeah, it's AI.
So, no, but listen to this. I think this actually makes sense for this use case of AI because they're taking pictures. For example, they were showing us a little computer module with three plugs, electrical plugs coming into it, which is mounted in the back of an Expedition, okay? The only job of this little phone on the assembly line is to look at that component and validate that that component with all the plugs plugged in correctly matches the spec.
I'm not saying it's a bad solution because definitely people objectively smarter than me came up with that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also a difficult pitch that we're going to solve all these truck recalls using smartphones and AI.
But
it's got to be another way. But, well, I don't, whatever.
But would it hurt? I don't think it would hurt.
No, I don't think it hurts.
Because the way...
I'm now I've grown cynical about everything
AI.
Having AI.
Yeah. Yes. Well, everything has AI. I think your fast food menu has AI.
Well, it's such a buzzword. You got to include it on everything.
Yeah. But a total buzzword. But the way that some of the quality used to be done, right? If it's not caught at that particular moment when the computer module was plugged in the vehicle goes down the line. Let's say they installed the interior. It still wasn't caught, right? And then, oops, somebody tries to start it. It doesn't work. Now they have to pull that vehicle aside or maybe stop the line, solve that problem. Creates kind of a, you know, backup effect. But if you could catch it at the moment of installation, I mean, that could be really, really smart and
it
really cool.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. I'm sure it's a good thing, but it just had to be AI. You
know? It was AI. That's how it was explained.
Is. Yeah, so there you go. Truck innovation, thanks to...
AI.
AI.
Yes, you heard it here first.
Wow.
No.
It was bound to head that way. This is the direction everything is cruising toward.
But you know, AI is just a piece of software that has some level of memory.
It is. It's such a broad term.
Yeah.
And it's such a buzzword that it gets applied to everything possible.
Yeah, it just has some memory. I mean, it can actually extrapolate what it sees to what it has seen before or what it should see. So, I mean, could get scary. I guess our factories could rise up against us pretty soon.
I hope not.
Yeah.
My 12-valve won't rise up against me, I don't think.
Unless you have a fuel filter problem of some sort.
There's no AI in that.
No, no. So, yeah. So, let us know. I mean, which innovation would you like to see or not see? But, dude, yeah, definitely. I think the biggest innovations I want to see, ways to remove complexity and recalls.
Simplify
and decrease price.
Yeah.
Those are, I think, but decrease the price in a good way because, like, you and I have seen many new vehicles with, like, obviously very, very hard plastics that sometimes have sharp edges. So, but come up with creative solutions, you know, creative solutions that help solve these problems.
Yeah, it would be cool to see trucks move toward a bit more simplicity because I think they've done a good job of adding a lot of content to these vehicles, safety, technology, comfort, capability, without the prices exceeding the rate of inflation, but because salaries haven't kept up with inflation, might need to instead innovate towards simplifying trucks rather than making trucks bigger and better every year.
And here's the thing. Like, let's say you bought a Chevy 1500 Silverado, right? So as we're closing down this episode, so just one, this thought, right? You're buying a Silverado 1500 that could potentially tow 13,000 pounds, right? But you never, ever think of towing that.
Yeah.
It's not a use case you really need. But a truck, Silverado, same truck, Silverado 1500, that tows about 8,000 pounds it's not that much less expensive, right? Maybe you could remove $1,000 of equipment out of it. But it's still, like, every truck is expensive. Do you see my point?
Yeah.
Right? So there should be, like, I just want to get four wheels and a steering wheel. That's all I really wanted.
Then you should get a 12-valve.
There you go. All solutions lead to
all
12-valve.
All roads lead back to second gens.
Yeah. There you go. So I guess on that particular note.
That's all from us for today.
We could
that
stop.
Was probably enough.
By the way, we have a lot of cool stuff happening. We already mentioned a couple of things. For example, our drag race, where we're drag racing heavy duty trucks with trailers.
True, and we don't know how that's going to go because we're doing
that
tomorrow.
Haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
So things could go really badly.
Yeah, they probably won't.
Also, I mentioned Sam, collaboration with Sam from Wheel Bearings Podcast. Also, I did a MPG loop that you haven't seen yet, which is old Cummins versus new Cummins. So stay tuned for that. You should check out oldtfl.com. Also, this week we have a new episode of Carish.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a bunch going on. If you want to check it out, check out alltfl.com. That's the place where you could try to keep up with all the stuff we publish. I don't think there's anyone that wants to watch that many videos and read that many articles, but you could give it a shot.
But it's one place where you could glance at it, scan it, and if you see something interesting, you could just drill into it.
Absolutely.
All right, there you go. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.